Get it? The Bird Show.
Let us bask in the gossip of strangers.
Ooh, my favorite thing to do.
Right? So I want to know what you overheard while eavesdropping. Don't know where you might have been, standing in line at the Home Goods. Been doing a lot of that lately. Sitting at a bar, sitting at a restaurant table. What did you overhear and spill the tea with us? All right, 1-855-BIRD-SHOW, 855-237-8746. Because we were the ones giving the tea to the guy sitting next to us at the bar to the point where he actually interjected. And probably because we were drunk and loud and obnoxious, and I do not blame him in the least bit. So this was from our girls' trip. There's the three of us sitting at the end of the bar, and he's there at that corner turned. And I don't know why I've never noticed this about my childhood best friend. This is going to be so weird now. She has the longest tongue. I had absolutely no idea. Oh. And even the tip curls up a little bit, kind of like a serpent or whatever. Oh. And I'm like, how did I not know this about you? So then we all started comparing tongue sizes at the bar. Now, listen, what I lack in size, I make up in speed, okay?
That's heard that he one said. Before.
So I have a short, stubby tongue, and it actually takes up, I feel like, a lot of room in my mouth.
Let's see it. Oh, yeah, that do be short.
Wow. Right? That's as far as it goes?
That's as far as it goes. I can't get it
heard
out.
That one, too.
Look, watch.
No God way. Did you a favor making you straight.
Right? But watch this.
Whoa. Okay.
Things right. I wish I had never seen for 500, Alex. Right.
So I can move it real fast, but it's really short. So we're all sitting there at this restaurant bar, sticking out our tongues. And like, I would get next to Amanda and we'd both be like, and we were like, stick out our tongues. And then Jen would get involved and she'd stick out her tongue. And then we're just like, so this is
wait, how do you eat an icy? Like, it just be on your forehead? Because you can't eat. How do you?
So I had to do one of these.
Okay. All right.
I got to like open wide instead of like when you just like stick your tongue out. I could never stick my tongue out at somebody because it wouldn't be an insult. You know what I mean?
More insulting to you.
Right? So if I lick an ice cream cone, I have to go like,
Got it.
So I have to go down instead of out.
You got to have a strategy.
Now you're pre-planning your ice cream.
Right?
Well, I typically don't do cone anyway. I'm more of a cup gal.
Poor Bart.
Personally. He's doing just fine, thank you very much.
I know, I saw that tongue.
But yeah, it is. She's short and she's stubby and I can't help it. But that was the random conversation we were having at the bar. All right, so Abby, we're going to test Mo.
Okay.
Because I've seen this video and I already know the answers. But Abby came across a video on TikTok and this is new Gen Z slang. So Abby's going to play this for you, Mo, and you got to try to figure out what young Gen Z is saying.
The sun is setting on my youth, and it all started when I saw this video on TikTok when a user named Natalie Ann said that younger Gen Zs, and I guess the Gen Alphas, already have their own slang, and we got to catch up on it.
All right, Gen Z slang at it again. I have never heard of these terms in my entire life until today, and I have to share with you guys what the kids taught me. Just to preface this, these are the younger Gen Z. So we're talking about kids age 12 to 15 that taught me these words. So first we have bot, which means...
Bot.
That means that someone is lying about who they really are.
Ooh. Ooh, like you're a bot on Twitter?
Right.
Oh, I kind of love that, but that's not right.
Okay.
You're weird or you're bad. And the example the kid gave me was, you're a freaking bot. Somebody said that to me, I think they think I'm a robot. Like, robot, bot, whatever. Next term, this one had me.
So it just means you're bad.
Like you're
weird.
You're
weird. Yeah.
Okay. Like, but your behavior doesn't make sense. Like, okay, bot.
Got
but
it.
I like your definition better.
I think we should go with mine.
I like that one.
Freaking out. Two man.
What was
two
it?
Man.
Two man. What does two man mean?
Two man. Like you're two man?
Is that your guess?
Two faced. Two different people.
Okay. That's good, but it's wrong.
I'm going on a two man tonight. You tell me what you think two man is.
Pause it.
Going on a two man tonight. You got two dates.
What do you mean you got two dates?
Like you're dating two guys and you're trying to figure out which one you really like, but in the same night.
That's closer. But still no.
inappropriate to me, but it's not. Two-man stands for double date. I'm going on a two-man tonight.
Okay. So double date.
Mm-hmm. Double date. Okay. Yeah.
Axis bop.
Axis bop?
Oh, no, just bop. I think she just meant next is okay.
Bop. Bop. Like the song is fire.
Yes, but no.
It go up in a club.
Okay. No.
Which means for the streets. So they said she's a bop. He's a bop. They're for the streets.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. They're for the streets. I've heard that one before. I should have knew that.
Imagine talking to my dad and he's like, oh, what happened to so-and-so? And I'm like, oh, they're a bop. He's going to be like, what? And last, this one really had me confused. Merch.
Merch.
This one still doesn't make sense to me.
Mm-mm. Merch.
Again, this is 12 to 15-year-old Gen Z. So this is the younger end of Gen Z.
That one is tough. That means...
And it doesn't stand for merchandise.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I figured that. I honestly have no idea. I don't even know what that can begin to mean.
The kids looked at me today and they're like, do you know what merch is? And I said, merchandise? No. Merch. I'm going to give you... I'm going to pretend like this is a spelling bee. On merch, I stole this. Merch substitutes for on God. So instead of saying on God, you say merch, on merch. I don't know why I'm moving so much, but I just, when they said this to me, I genuinely was confused with 99.9% of the words they use, especially two man. Two man. So the next time homegirl invites me on a date and when the time comes and I have a man, I'm going to be like, oh, we're going on a two man tonight. Oh, what can I say? Kids keep me young.
I don't accept that. You can't change God to merch.
I think it's because there's been some rhetoric about capitalism being a new religion, especially in the United States. Not like an actual practicing religion, but everyone's so obsessed with capitalism. Uh-huh. So instead of like Bible or on God, it's on merch.
The 12-year-olds are coming up with that?
They're savvy, impressive. Man. They're that's chronically impressive. Online.
Get it? The Bert Show.
Margaret and her wife want to start a family. However, they're missing one key ingredient. So they needed to ask their best friend if they could borrow some sugar.
Yep, that's one way to put it.
And they were going to do it this past weekend. So, Mo, you and Bert gave advice. You said you would be flattered. However, your response would be?
It would be no, to be fully honest. I certainly would not be offended by the ask. I would be complimented. I would be flattered by the ask. But it's just for me, I don't think I would be the kind of guy that could not be involved and to just know that I had a child out there and not being there would be too much for me to take on. However, her just going and asking, and as someone who was a friend of yours, I don't think that she should have felt uncomfortable about just going for it.
And Bert echoed your sentiments. So, Margaret... Welcome back. Did you guys have the conversation this weekend?
Hey, yes, we did. And we did not get a no.
But did you get a yes?
Right. Yeah, we also didn't get a yes. But you know what? He said he was thinking about it. And that is all I could really ask for, you know? Mm-hmm. So a little bit about it. Yeah. We decided to do it, not in public. You know, we thought that it would be maybe a little bit too personal to be done at like a Chili's or something.
Yeah, that would be wild. No, that 2 for $25 can make a good buffer for any awkward situation. What are some of the, just bear with me for a second, Margaret, because we definitely want to hear the story. Where are some of the worst places you could ask somebody if you could borrow their sperm? I feel like Chuck E. Cheese, not a good place.
Chuck E. Cheese is definitely on that
Cheese
list.
Chuck E. Cheese is crazy.
That's wild.
Uh-huh.
I think anything fast food. You put anything fast food in there, you can't do it there.
Yeah, no Taco Bell?
Nope.
No McDonald's?
Nope. No.
I feel like Chick-fil-A. I feel like the Lord would bless whatever.
Yeah, you're fine at Chick-fil-A. Like Olive Garden, you good because you're family? Yes.
All right, so Margaret, I think that was a wise choice not to do it in public. You decided to do it in the comforts of your home, so go ahead.
Yeah, no, he came over to grab a drink before he went out, you know, with his friends. And he popped over, and I guess, you know, we just didn't beat around the bush. And we actually went with Kristen's suggestion, and we said that, you know, we have a loaded question, but we're wondering if you'd be okay with being a sperm donor for our baby. And he was definitely shocked. And then, you know, as you guys said, it turned into him being super flattered. But we hashed it out. And he honestly gave us like a heartfelt, you know, I need some time to think about it. you know. And I think his biggest thing is that he's a single hetero man, and his main concern was that once he gets into, you know, a committed relationship, how will his significant other feel about having him having a child with a lesbian couple, you know? And I actually do understand where he's coming from.
That's fair.
That's totally fair. But I love that he's really considering it, mm-hmm. and he is thinking about it. So yeah. I think all in all, and you guys survived the ask.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We did.
I also think when you look at how he responded to it with, you know, he wasn't against you in it. He accepted the ask, but yeah. he also thought about his future, what his future wife may think of it.
Mm-hmm.
I can see why he's the kind of guy that you chose to give this ask to, because that's commendable.
However, I think what a red flag would be for me if I was in this position and I went to a man to, you know, tried to secure the goods to make a baby. I think a red flag would be if he was like, so what is it about me that makes you want my sperm?
Oh, no, that's a fair ask.
Start fishing for a compliment?
You think that's a fair ask?
Well, I mean, I think there's a proper way to ask it. You don't got to be like sleazy about it. Like, yeah. So what was it? When did you know? I think it could just be like, okay, you could have chose any man in your life to be a sperm, the father of your baby. Why me? I honestly would want to know so that I feel better or more convinced to say yes. Because if you say, oh, well, it's because of X, Y, and Z, and I'm like, that's a dumb reason, I'm not going to feel very motivated to say yes. But if you have really valid reasons, like, you know, good medical history or whatever, I'd be like, you know what? Bet. I'm there.
So if they said, you know, listen, you're tall and you're attractive, that's it, you would be offended?
Oh, that's a good question.
Right?
No, I'd be like, let me spread the wealth of my good looks to,
that works
to
for
the
me.
Children of the earth.
Now that I'm thinking about it, okay, I see your point.
Yeah.
And I validate that. And I do think there is a way to ask that that's non-narcissistic, as far as like, why would you choose me to be like, you know, the contributing part of your family.
It's pretty mm-hmm. important.
Good temperament. You have yeah. a good personality, or honestly, like mm-hmm. you just think that you would have really beautiful children together. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I think our genes would mesh well.
Yeah. I would be like, because you're not on antidepressants.
I never had to go to therapy.
Yes. I'm on them. So I need to find somebody who is not. Well, Margaret, when did you guys set like a deadline for this? Can you even do that?
No. Yeah. We did not do that, because okay. it felt like such a big ask and putting yeah. a timeline, you know, but we do want to begin the process early next year. So I'm hoping that he has an answer pretty soon, but otherwise we're back to the drawing board. But again, it's a big ask, so I'm going to let him just process the way he needs to process.
Margaret, I'm wondering if you already have a backup lined up. Like, do you have somebody else you're ready to text once if this guy says no?
I have a feeling he's going to say yes.
Really?
So I don't really have a full backup plan yet. If another week goes by, I'll start thinking about my backup.
If you do get a backup, my advice would be not to tell him he's the backup. You keep that one to yourself.
Do not disclose that.
Don't do that.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I would keep that one close to the vest. Well, whenever he does disclose, please call us up and let us know.
I will. Thank you guys so much for helping me through this.
You're welcome, and good luck on your journey of starting a family. That's so exciting.
Thank you.
It's the Burt Show.
Listen, it's the Burt Show.
Last night was our Burt's Big Adventure holiday reunion. Oh my God, we had so much fun.
Yes, we did.
85 Burt's Big Adventure families. So for those that don't know, Burt's Big Adventure, our nonprofit where we take kids with chronic and terminal illness down to Disney World. And once you become part of the fam, you are always part of the family in the Burt's Big Adventure community. So this has been going on for 20 plus years now. So 85 families showed up. That meant there was over 400 people at mm-hmm. Truist Park. So we were at the Delta Club at Truist Park for our holiday reunion, because we have outgrown our other spot because we're too big. And it was a beautiful space.
Listen, if you have never been in the Delta Club at Truist Park, you cannot throw a bad party in there.
No.
It's beautiful. And BBA did such an amazing job of getting it all together, getting families holidays, right? It was like, I love the holidays because the colors, the decorations, it was incredible. It was really nice in there.
And it was all thanks to Gas South because they sponsor our adventure reunion. So without them, this wouldn't be possible. But of course, the big man himself, Santa, was there taking photos with all the families and getting the kids' wish list. I think Santa, definitely the most popular.
By far.
But very, very, very close behind was that hot chocolate bar.
Yes. And it's so funny because when I first passed the hot chocolate bar, the lady that was putting it together was like, I don't know if anyone is going to love it. Oh. I don't think she realized what was coming.
Dude, there was a line at the hot chocolate bar all night long. And I'm not kidding you. So we stayed till the very, very end. And when we were leaving, she was holding her hair up and they were sweating a little bit. And I'm like, y'all got more action at the hot chocolate bar than you thought you did.
Yes, they did.
DJ Joby was there, and we had a DJ, and he let the kids get back there and attempt to DJ.
They did their best.
And then thank you, as always, to our volunteer extraordinaire, Cindy Powers, for coordinating all the incredible characters that were there. Mm-hmm. We had princesses. We also had superheroes. The Star Wars crew was out again. My son kept lovingly referring to them as the robots. He wanted to go see the robots, aka the Star Wars characters. So yeah, it was a great night, reconnecting, having so much fun. The holiday reunion holds a special place in my heart because I feel like we get like the most attendees and everybody's just in the holiday spirit and it's just so good to get together.
It's probably my favorite of the year just because of the spirit, the energy. I mean, one of the kids stole Thor's hammer and then Thor was chasing him around trying to get his hammer back the whole time. I love that Santa was on time and took every picture the whole time. We know Santa is busy, so I was impressed by that. But yes, everybody who showed up, it was such an amazing time to see everybody and to kick it with everybody.
So again, thank you to Truist Park for letting us take over the Delta Club. And of course, a massive, massive thank you to Gas South because you are the reason why we were able to bring these families back together. And so thank you so much. Happy holidays.
All I'm saying is we should get this done quickly before all the sugar makes us crash because we are in right now on the Zaxby shakes, man.
Wait, you hear this?
Mm. Yeah, I'm trying to hurry up before my milk.
Seems like every year that we have Zaxby's in here, the first thing that Kristen always says is, where's my damn shake? They're giving all this money to Bert's Big Adventure. She don't care about that. What she cares about is her shake.
All right, so Fred, the history is, Zaxby's is hands down my favorite milkshake. And it's the right thickness. It's the right chocolatiness. Mm-hmm. It's the right amount of whipped cream. Like, it's just perfection. But they went away for a while.
They did.
But they're back.
They're back.
Yeah!
I mean,
and you may have had a little to do with that radio mention and everything going viral.
I'll take credit.
And that petition, right? There was an official petition.
I was very passionate. Yeah, you should run for president. You're getting things done.
You weren't blamed by the shake.
I know.
We had to make quite a donation to stop that petition, if I remember.
So Justin and Fred are here again from Zaxby's, as they have been for a couple of years now. They have been so good to us when it comes to Bert's Big Adventure. And we're here to remind you guys again that Giving Tuesday this year is December 3rd. Kristen, what is Giving Tuesday?
So Giving Tuesday started back in 2012, and this is a global generosity movement. It's a day to remind everybody around the holidays that while we're out spending all this money buying gifts for people, that there are nonprofits out there that could use some holiday love as well. And Bert's Big Adventure would be one of those nonprofits, and Zaxby's is here to add a little oomph to that donation.
Absolutely. Every single milkshake we sell, a portion of that goes to Bert's Big Adventure. So we're happy to do that.
Oh, I'm going to get milkshaked out.
Yeah, man. It's so worth it. They are going to match anything that you guys are raising up to $25,000. That is a huge amount of money for Bert's Big Adventure.
Every year we come in, we always talk about just challenging all the listeners to give better than they get during this time. It's a huge part of our culture and really has nothing to do with Zaxby's or milkshakes or Zax sauce, but just really to we try to challenge ourselves to just give better than we get. And we found when you do that and you bless the hearts of others, it's not so much that it comes back to you, but you make something that's just more powerful than just focusing on yourself. And so, again, that's our challenge this year. Certainly, we want people to come and be a part of Bert's Big Adventure, but just give better than they get. get and everything that they do.
Yeah, so Zaxby's, they call it Zax of Kindness, right? And so if you donate $10 to Bert's Big Adventure, they're going to match that. Your $10 just turned into $20, and like Bert said, up to $25,000. And I do, I love it that you're, you really are. I thought that was just like a fun little plug, but no, anytime anybody buys a milkshake from Zaxby's, a portion of it's going to Bert's Big Adventure.
That's right.
Pretty awesome. Pretty
yes, awesome. We are donating the profits from the milkshakes back to y'all as part of Giving Tuesday. You all have just such an amazing charity, and it's an opportunity for all the guests to come and not only give better than they get, but really impact the hearts of something. And we've been there to see these kids and see the smiles and just how genuine as well as impactful it is.
I do think we're living in a time now where people not only want to feel good about what they're consuming, but feel it on a soulful level. And I think Zaxby's has done that for a very long time.
Absolutely. Every year we talk about this. This is our fifth year partnering with Bert's Big Adventure. And this is the one that's the no-brainer every year. We're like, yep, we're doing that again because awesome. You guys do such great things.
Well, thank you. Okay, we're going to have to remind you guys over and over and over again about that date, which is December 3rd.
Yep. So again, Giving Tuesday, December 3rd. You make a donation now to Bert's Big Adventure, and Zaxby's will match it.
Absolutely.
Can't thank you guys enough for your continued support of Bert's Big Adventure. And we live in a time now where you hear about athletes' contracts that are for $20 million. So when you hear $25,000, you might not like be going, no, $25,000 is a lot of money for anybody. And for an organization like Bert's Big Adventure, just them matching that is a huge amount for us.
And we're glad to do that. Like we've seen you guys, you know, when the cameras are off with this every year, and we see how sincere and genuine and authentic this really is. And that touches our hearts. More importantly, just meeting with a lot of these kids and a lot of the families and just seeing how they're blessed and impact. This is a great thing for us to partner with. And what y'all are doing is just absolutely amazing. And we want to thank you for that.
I just got some sprinkles.
So good, right? Listen,
Kristen, I've heard you speak about these shakes for years.
Right?
And this is my first time finally having one. Mm-hmm. It certainly lives up to the hype.
Yeah, it does, what flavor did you get birthday cake?
I got the birthday cake. Yeah. That's what you told me.
That's our claim to fame, the birthday cake.
This is amazing.
So divine. I've been a fan of these milkshakes for years. And I remember when y'all came in last time, you said that they were only going to be available in Macon.
That's right.
So when I was driving through, because I'm from Jacksonville, when I was driving through Macon on my way back to Atlanta, I was like, hang on, I'm in Macon. Literally stopped in Macon for one of these milkshakes. Yes. They are that good.
Cheers.
Finally.
Oh, yeah. Cheers. She's at Bert's Big Adventure.
And we can drive after having these.
Yay.
Well, we promised you we were going to bring him in for a couple of years. It took us a little bit, but we wanted to ring true to the promise.
My God, you're a man of your word, Fred. Thank you, sir. Yeah.
Dustin, Fred, and everybody over at Zaxby's that continually helps our Bert's Big Adventure each and every year. Thank you so much, you guys.
Thank you,
guys.
All right, if you see me later and I'm talking a million miles a minute, it's because I have so much sugar coursing through my veins.
Yeah, I'm going to go into a sugar coma in about 20 minutes. I'm getting mine in now. It's the Bert Show.
Listen, it's the Bert Show.
You thought Tyson and Jake Paul was the biggest fight of the year? Nah, it's going down Thursday. The Bert Show's Thanksgiving cooking competition. Yay!
I thought music was coming.
I thought music was coming too.
Well, I would have had your back.
Do we need a theme song?
Can we do it again? Yeah.
Thanksgiving cook-off. It's happening on Thursday. Hey. Big fight! Big fight!
All right, we made up for it.
Yeah. All right.
I think we made things worse. I think so, too.
Why is the studio on fire?
All right,
so here's the deal. Thursday, Chef Kevin Gillespie is coming in studio to try our Thanksgiving dishes like he has done in the past. So Kevin Gillespie, chef, author, former Top Chef contestant, also was on a Top Chef Masters, owner of Atlanta restaurants, Gun Show, and Nadir. He's coming in, and he is putting his taste buds. Poor guy. Let's just go ahead and call it what it is. He's going to massacre his taste buds by eating some of our dishes, okay?
Massacre? I remember last time he had my food, he loved it. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, was the banana muffin was something different, right? What did we do last time with him? Do you remember?
I can't remember.
We did one that had corn. Didn't we have, or was it mac and cheese?
No, it was corn. Mac and cheese was a different chef. And it was, we did, I think if I remember correctly, we had corn dishes.
Yes.
All right, this time the parameters have been set. All right. So each of us is responsible for bringing in a dish from an influencer. All right. So any dish that's gone viral on TikTok, on Instagram, you are responsible for making said dish. Bonus points if you get the influencer on the air with us, okay? So it can be any foodie influencer on social media. It just has to be one of those recipes that has gone viral. I remember not too long ago, there was like a cucumber recipe that was like crazy. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah, there was something about cucumber salad that everybody was making. Like, to the point where it was hard to find cucumbers. Everybody was making this stupid salad. So that is, again, that's the parameters. You just have to bring in a viral recipe from a social media foodie influencer, all right? Mm-hmm. Does anybody have anybody in particular they're already thinking of? Because Rebecca already hit me up, and she already knows what she wants to make.
Wait, really?
I do, but I'm not telling y'all. You're going to steal it out from under me.
How about you can share. We promise nobody will steal it.
I forgot her name anyway. It's Kat something. She makes salads.
Okay.
She's like, she makes very dense bean salads, and she's a great chef.
So you're going to make everybody have the farts.
Yes. Happy Thanksgiving.
Nothing like a good bean.
It's going to blow you away.
I'm going with my dude, Mr. Make It Happen. I don't know if y'all ever seen him, but he goes viral a lot for a lot of the dishes he makes, and his dishes are always popping up on my timeline, and I'm hungry. Every time I see him, the dude is amazing at what he does. So I'm going to make something from him.
Well, I don't know if this counts, but my banana pudding is a viral TikTok recipe. I don't even know if you can call it TikTok. It's a viral internet recipe.
But you've already made it.
I know, but I know it's a winner.
Oh. And Kevin hasn't tried it.
My boy Kevin hasn't tried it yet.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
I could find something new, but like, why switch it up when I know I've got gold on my hands?
Who originated the viral banana pudding?
Magnolia Bakery in New York.
Oh.
So I guess Sex in the City, Carrie Bradshaw?
Yes.
Look, that's a good one, but Kristen's right, you did make it. I actually have a secret food TikTok account, and I follow food influencers, and it's where I get all my recipes from TikTok. If you want some ideas, I'm happy to share some.
I'm going to need some ideas. So if you are an Atlanta food influencer or just a national food influencer, hit me up, please, because I don't know what to make now.
All right. So again, that's going to all go down Thursday with Chef Kevin Gillespie. We're going to bring in our viral food viral food dishes from social media, and that's what we're going to go with. All right, real quick, Mo, before we get into entertainment buzz, actor Jaleel White, who we know as the beloved character Urkel from Family Matters, is taking some heat online?
Taking a lot of heat. A lot of people are very upset with his latest interview because I don't know if you guys have ever seen the Family Matters doc, but after the Family Matters doc, a lot of people wondered what was really going on behind the scenes of that show, which is such a popular and beloved show in the culture.
Didn't two of the characters end up in porn?
Yeah, and so and so apparently, if you don't know the full story, the quick version of it is when he became Steve Urkel, the character, he was supposed to be one episode, supposed to be a one off, but then he became the star of the show, and it was obvious that the show needed to be centered around him, which allegedly went to his head, and he was really rubbing everybody on the set the wrong way because they were referring to him as a narcissist who really just didn't care about anybody but himself, and he was extremely difficult to work with. So those rumors had been circulating for a long time, and then when they started to speak about a reboot, once they saw the success of Fuller House, they wanted to do a reboot of Family Matters, which, like you mentioned, some of the cast members went into porn. Some of the cast members didn't necessarily have the best follow-up careers after the show. So they obviously could see this as a big opportunity.
Yeah, I think, like, the eldest son has a very popular OnlyFans page now. And then the youngest daughter from Family Matters, like, legitimately became, like, an adult actress.
And they've all had their own share of individual problems after the show. It was documented in the show. And so now, when they came up with this idea, everybody was excited because, obviously, his former co-host could all use the money, and he said that he did not want to do it because he feels like it's not really important, and he doesn't feel like the actual show Family Matters would ring today as something that people would want to see, but instead it should be something that's more of a story of his life and how he actually became Steve Urkel and became the show, which fed more into the narrative of, you're a bit narcissistic, my guy. Like, what are you doing? So he apparently is the reason that it's all getting shut down because one of the producers told him, we want to do something with Family Matters. No one is interested in your memoirs and hearing about your biography.
Yeah.
And so him and the producer went at it, and now they scrapped all of the plans to bring up Family Matters back simply because he did not want to do it. He didn't want to be there.
So here's the thing. I don't begrudge him for not wanting to do it. Like, if he thinks, listen, nothing's going to hold up the way the original show did. This is not something like in my life, like with Kim Cattrall not wanting to do the other, like the And Just Like That series. I respect that. It's like, it's the reasoning behind it.
And that's the problem. Like, you want there to be a biography about you instead of doing the Family Matters reboot, which would in turn help everybody. And maybe it's that he feels like he's outgrown the Steve Urkel character, right? He's older now,
yeah,
more mature. That would be understandable. I feel like, if anything, if that's the true excuse, then you should have just said that. But to say I'm not doing it unless we make it a story about me,
yeah,
that wasn't it.
Do you know how old he was when he was cast as Urkel and portrayed Urkel for the 12?
Oh my gosh.
Really?
That's he was a baby.
He was.
That's how young he was when he started on the show.
Which is why I think a lot of people defended him when they heard the rumors. Like, yeah, he was still so young. Yeah. You know, you threw him in a situation like that. But now, grown man, and he's still showing signs of that narcissistic trait.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
I've seen a lot of mixed opinions on this interview that Mike Tyson gave with teenage reporter Jazzy. I've seen some people think it's hilarious and dark, and some people feel like he was being a little bit of a D to a young girl. So, of course, Mike Tyson fought Jake Paul over the weekend. Big fight. He took home $20 million just for getting in the ring. And Jazzy, who once again is a 14-year-old reporter, asked him, what do you want your legacy to be once your career is finally over?
In your return to the ring for this fight, you are setting a monumental opportunity for kids my age to see the legend, Mike Tyson, in the ring for the first time. So after such a successful career, what type of legacy would you like to leave behind when it's all said and done?
Well, I don't know. I don't believe in the word legacy. I just think that's another word for ego. Legacy doesn't mean nothing. That's just some word everybody grabbed onto. Someone said that word and everyone grabbed on the word, so now it's used every 5 seconds. It means absolutely nothing to me. I'm just passing through. I'm going to die and it's going to be over. Who cares about a legacy after that? What a big ego. So I'm going to die. I want people to think that I'm this. I'm great. No, we're nothing. We're just dead. We're dust. Absolutely nothing. Our legacy is nothing.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. That is something that I have not heard before, someone say that as an answer.
Can you really imagine somebody say, I want my legacy to be this way when I get dead?
When I get dead.
Why do you want somebody, do you think somebody really wants to think about you? How, what's the audacity? I think, I want people to think about me when I'm gone. Who the fuck cares about me when I'm gone? Well, my kids, maybe, or grandkids.
That's true.
Yes.
And again, thank you so much for sharing that.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
So, I mean, this was leading up to the fight. Now we know the results of the fight,
right?
Which he took the L. But I feel like a legacy had been brought up a lot to him, and he was tired of hearing about it. But you also have to remember who you're speaking to,
mm-hmm.
And this is a 14-year-old girl. Probably could dial back the death a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think Mike did it on purpose. A lot of people were saying like he was mean to her.
No.
I really don't think Mike was trying to be cruel to her at all. If you know Mike, that's Mike. Like, that's a very Mike Tyson answer. But I just don't think he took into consideration that he was talking to a 14-year-old girl. But she handled it really well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I give her credit, because I'm sure in her mind she did not expect that to go that way.
In all sincerity, like, even though it was kind of like his answer was a little off-putting, couldn't be any better for her career.
Oh my gosh, because we're talking about her.
Yeah.
I had never heard of her until I saw this interview. And to see that kind of poise and confidence at the age of 14, talking to a legend when he gives you an answer that you have no idea how to bounce back from, like, she handled it really, really well. So good for her. I'm sure big things are ahead of her after this interview.
I've seen a lot of adults fold at the intimidation of being in an interview with Mike Tyson, and she stood on all 10 and handled it really well. I think that's going to actually end up being better for her than people realize.
Hey, and good news, he doesn't care about legacy because, he lost.
Yeah.
Maybe he said that knowing how it was going to end on Friday. He's like, I don't care. So I don't want to look like I care, so that when I lose, it's not a big deal.
I think you're right.
All right, she says her ex stole her cat out of spite after the breakup, and now she says she's prepared to do something big in public to retaliate. So I'm continuing the story with Brianna Chicken Fry and Zach Bryan. I feel like everybody has been talking about this breakup. So if you missed this story, he's a big country music star. They had this horrible falling out. He broke up with her randomly after returning home from tour, ended up on Raya, a dating app the next day, which made their breakup go super viral in public. So now he's been posting her cat all over his social media. And Brianna got on TikTok and said that he stole her cat, like, out of spite once this breakup ended. And she got on TikTok and said, if you do not stop posting my cat on social media and rubbing it in my face that you have my pet, I'm going to post a video of you. I don't know if abuse is the right word, but it's a video of him getting violent with her. She's like, I'm ready to drop it if you do not stop posting my cat. So she ended up deleting that TikTok. I'm sure she got a very angry letter from his attorneys. But I would be so incensed if you have this cat that's yours before the relationship and then it ends and then he thinks he can just swoop in and take it. If that's true, like, I'm ready to go to war for this girl. Like, this is a big deal. You taking somebody's cat? It's like, it's your baby.
That's a tough situation to be in. Somebody took a dog once after a breakup. I'm still not over it.
Oh, really?
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it happened to me. We broke up, and I took care of the dog. I mean, she did get the dog, but I took care of the dog. It was me and the dog every day. Me and the dog became best friends, and then when we broke up, I went home. Dog was gone. No more Coco. I never saw her again.
Oh, Coco. Oh, my God. Rip Coco. We need to find. Is Coco still alive? Can we find Coco?
I hope we can. I have no idea. I've tried. I can't find anything.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How long ago was this?
10 years ago.
Oh. But was it a small dog?
Yes.
Okay, small. They live longer.
In my mind, Coco will be alive forever.
All right, even though Kim Kardashian has all the resources in the world, she says it's still hard raising four kids, quote, alone. I'll explain why she said that on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
Get it? The Burt Show.